We're going to watch a video together that's going to begin to introduce us to some of the big ideas of the Bible passage that we're thinking about together. So watch on the screens.
A long time ago, there was a man named Peter, who was best friends with Jesus. Peter was a fisherman. He was strong and brave, but he often said the wrong thing. Do you ever talk before you think? That's what Peter did. Again and again and again. Peter loved fish. In fact, one day he and Jesus had fish for breakfast. Fish for breakfast. That's weird. But we'll save that part of the story until the end. On the day when Jesus first called Peter to follow him, can you guess what Peter was doing? That's right. Peter was fishing. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, Jesus told him. Can you imagine that? Peter, fishing for men. Jesus explained that just as Peter liked to search for fish, Jesus had come to search for people who needed forgiveness. Peter loved being friends with Jesus. He saw Jesus do lots of amazing things. One time, Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus healed her. Another time, Peter was about to drown in a storm, and Jesus saved him. Slowly, Peter realized that Jesus was more than a friend. He was God. He would never let Peter down. But sometimes, Peter let Jesus down. Like the time Jesus explained to his friends that he had to die on the cross, but he would come back to life to offer forgiveness. All of you will run away. You're going to say that you're not my friends, Jesus said. Peter spoke up right away. He did that a lot. I will never do that, Peter said. But Jesus told him, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will say three times that you're not my friend. I would never do that. Jesus is my best friend, Peter thought. When soldiers came to take Jesus to the cross, Peter pulled out his sword to stop them. Put your sword away, Peter, Jesus said. My Father says this must happen. Jesus let the soldiers take him to a courtyard to stand trial. Peter followed from far away. Aren't you one of Jesus' friends? A young girl asked as she opened a gate for Peter to enter the courtyard. What do you think Peter said? No, I don't know Jesus. It was a cold night, so Peter walked over to a fire where some people were warming themselves. Aren't you one of Jesus' friends? Someone asked Peter. What do you think Peter said? No, I don't know Jesus. Then someone else stepped forward and looked closely at Peter. Yes, you are one of Jesus' friends, aren't you? He said. What do you think Peter said? No, I don't know Jesus. Right then, at that very moment, a rooster crowed. Jesus turned around and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you're not my friend. Peter was so sad. He knew he had failed Jesus again and again and again. He didn't just need to find other people who needed forgiving. He needed forgiving too. Peter felt terrible. He ran out of the courtyard and he cried and cried and cried. Peter had let his best friend down and now it was too late because the soldiers had taken Jesus away to be killed.
Hi guys, it is lovely to be with you again this morning for our worship together service. And in these worship together services, we've been looking at the Lord Jesus and people that the Lord Jesus met.
And today, as you might have guessed from that video, we're looking at Peter. I've actually brought Peter with me, so I'm just going to go grab him. Here he is. He's not quite as tall as I thought he was going to be. But there he is. There's Peter. And I'm really glad we're looking at Peter, because as we look at Peter, there are so many wonderful things we can learn as this man who was one of Jesus' very, very closest friends. Actually, the two main things we're going to learn today, they happen to both begin with the letter F. We're going to learn about failure in this first half of the talk, and then we're going to learn about forgiveness. So we're going to learn about failure and forgiveness as we look at the life of Peter. But let me pray as we begin. Our Father, we thank you for this chance to look at your word and to think about who you are as you reveal yourself in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the lessons that we can learn from the life of Peter. Amen. So, as I said, we're learning from the life of Peter today, and there are wonderful things we can learn from him. Like we saw in the video, Peter, he began his life as a fisherman. That was his whole kind of existence, fishing on the Sea of Galilee along with his brother Andrew. But then his life gets switched upside down as one day this guy Jesus comes walking along and he says to Peter, "Hey, come follow me." And right away, Peter does that. He leaves his nets, he leaves his life as a fisherman, and he follows Jesus. As he follows Jesus, he sees all kinds of incredible things. So he sees Jesus turn water into wine. He sees people who are sick healed in a moment. One time he even sees the Lord Jesus walk on water. See if it floats. Yeah, there we go. More incredibly than that, even though, on a couple of occasions, Peter saw people who had died being raised to life. And as Peter sees all of these things, these incredible things that Jesus is able to do, he puts them together in his mind and he realizes who Jesus is. He realizes that Jesus is the King, the one that God had promised, the one who life is all about. And Peter is absolutely committed to following the Lord Jesus. He loves him, which must have made it such an absolute bombshell the day that Jesus said to his followers, "You're all going to abandon me, every last one of you." And Peter, he's like, no, Jesus, I never do that. You're my best friend. I would even lay down my life for you. That's how much he loves Jesus. He says he's willing to give everything for him. Or he thinks he is, anyway. But Jesus says, no, even you, Peter, even you, before morning, you're going to say three times. The fact that he had failed didn't mean that Jesus was finished with him. And actually, in the last few verses, Jesus speaks about how one day Peter will do exactly what he said he was going to do. Do you remember that he said, "No, Jesus, I'm willing to even die for you." And actually, Jesus at the end of this passage says, "You know, you're right, Peter, you will die for me. There's going to be a time where you're going to be taken where you do not want to go and may do something you don't want to do." And John says this is to explain the death by which Peter would glorify God. This guy who ran away will end up dying a martyr's death. It's a pretty remarkable turnaround, isn't it? But what do we need to learn from this forgiven failure, Peter? Well, firstly, it is just that wonderful fact that Jesus is incredibly forgiving. If you're under the age of 18 here today, I really want to say this clearly to you, but it applies to everybody. You cannot do anything ever which will be too bad for Jesus to forgive. You will never do anything that Jesus will not forgive you for. The reason I want to say that, particularly to those of you who are younger here today, is that chances are you might not have done anything you're kind of particularly feel like you've messed up your life or done anything particularly awful yet. But if and when that day comes, I want you to know that forgiveness is still on offer. Adults, I imagine that most of us know what it feels like to fail. All of us have things in our past that we're ashamed of, things that we wish we could change. But again, look at how Jesus treats Peter. Please don't live with guilt and shame for things that you've already repented of. Jesus is wonderfully and totally forgiving. But as we close, I just want to think very briefly about leaders in the church, because Peter, clearly, he's one of the great first leaders of the early church. And what we learn is that Christian leaders are forgiven failures who love Jesus. Christian leaders, they're forgiven failures who love Jesus. I guess when you think about Christian leaders, it's very easy to think of people who get to stand on this stage Sunday by Sunday. And I really hope that you never think that the people like me who get to stand here, that we're perfect. Please don't ever think that. You probably don't. We're not. We're failures, just like everybody else. Now, just like everyone else, we like to try and hide it in those ways we thought about in the first half. We try to hide our flaws. But the fact is, we are really nothing special. But we are, hopefully, failures who know this forgiveness and who love the Lord Jesus. Now, as we think about leaders, children, I wonder who you think is your most important leader. Who's your most important Christian leader? I'll give you a clue. It's not Will. It's not Kate, even, as great as they are. They're probably sat next to you. Parents, you are Christian leaders of your family. And actually, even of those of us who aren't parents or don't have children at home right now, most of us have some kind of Christian leadership role, even if it's pretty informal and feels very small. And so for all of us who find ourselves in any kind of leadership, this is our pattern. We are forgiven failures who love Jesus. And I guess especially for parents, our children need to see both of those halves, the forgiven failure part and the loving Jesus part. So our children need to see us fail, make mistakes, and seek repentance. They need to see that we're able to seek forgiveness both from others and from the Lord. And of course they need us to see us love the Lord Jesus. But the fact is that all Christian leadership, and actually all Christian discipleship, it is totally countercultural. Because it doesn't begin with kind of, as we see so many of our politicians doing all the time, pretending that we're great and we're gifted when we're not. Christian leadership, Christian discipleship begins by admitting we're not great. And it all flows from this one that we love, the one that we love not least because we have found that though we ourselves are failures, he loves us and forgives us and remarkably even calls us his own. Let me say a prayer now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that even though we are so obviously failures in so many different ways, that we let ourselves down, each other down, we let you down, we praise you that you forgive us again and again and again because you love us that much. We praise you. Amen.